difference between inquiry and doubt in regard to vichara? What exactly does the word inquiry mean? Anyone? Help.
Asking for help.
So looking into something.
Looking for information, asking for information.
What are the roots of the word? Means in, as he says. Quire. Qua. Say, sir?
Yeah.
Huh?
What? Yes.
And qua? In what? I meant, what is in what? What is inside? Right? To inquire. What again is a funny thing? To investigate. West is to put, isn't it? To investigate is to put something inside. It's not investigating in the other sense of the word. Put your mind inside, I guess. So inquire means what? To inquire. How do you inquire? Not by asking questions. That is questioning.
Because when one is in doubt, you ask for advice, isn't it?
That's a completely different area, different dimension. That is, when you are in doubt, you are asking for advice. That's like someone getting lost and from looking for a traffic cop. Then?
Looking in what? It's not this, not that.
Yeah, let's first deal with that. So, I had a few friends who never experienced doubt. It's an extraordinary character. For instance, I met a man in the Bahamas who asked me a simple question. Swami, do you eat meat? I told him no. But then how does hair grow on your head? Why is this problem? Because he has been told, and there he had no doubt at all till he came to me, that if you don't eat meat, which is protein, hair won't grow on your head, which is pure protein. And he had no doubt. To him, I was a freak. When does a doubt arise, first of all? So, it is possible for someone to die without experiencing doubt. You see what I'm trying to suggest? For instance, let me tell you something. Till I went to South Africa and bumped into a few Jews, I didn't know what a Jew was. To me, there were Hindus. And there was Muslims, I could recognize them. And all of you I would have regarded as Christians. Never mind your predilections. So that all the European crowd that came to my meetings and satsangs and so on, they were all, according to me, Christians. Till one of them said, no, I am a Jewess and I don't believe in all this. So I had no doubt. He is a Christian. I know he is not a Hindu. I know he is not a Muslim. No, he must be Christian. Just as I was an intriguing person to a Hasidic rabbi or whatever it is in Jerusalem. I was wearing a Hasidic hat. I was standing near the western wall with my dhoti and shirt and this hat. I must have looked something out of the museum. And so this man, who was going round and round and round and round in singing in ecstasy, once stopped, stepped out of the line, came to my host and asked him, who is this? The question, I believe, was, what sort of Jew is he? That means, you know, Jewish people have come from all over the world, from India, from Middle East, from black, brown, green, yellow, white, all sorts of colors had come. And so from where does he come? And Mr. Seidner explained to him that he is not a Jew. He is a Gentile. Which to them only means Christian. Neither Jew nor Muslim, but only Christian. Because according to them, Gentile means one who is not circumcised. Since both Jews and Muslims are circumcised, only the Christian is Gentile. And it seems he said, no, he is not Christian, he is Hodu. He is a Hindu, eh? Eh? So, it is possible in such a context for someone to die without a doubt. You are born, you go to the church, you are baptized, and then later on you are confirmed, and you don't stray out of your village. And you are saturated with your dogma, I am saturated with my dogma. And we don't meet each other, and there is no challenge. And I die hugging my own belief or illusion. Doubt may not arise at all. So, according to you, first there must be a doubt, and then I must go to someone asking for advice. The other person may unfortunately be another blind man. For such a person, death is the only redemption. It's a beautiful thing. The more I think of death, the more I fall in love with death. I could continue to be a fool for eternity, for 10,000 years, 50,000 years. As death comes along at a certain stage, all right, you have been a very good fool, quit. And experience doubt, experience difficulty. With which I entirely agree. Without some doubt, there is no progress. Even in making the idli, you must doubt. Is this the way it's supposed to be? No. Is that the way the mixture is to be? Is that the way it is to be cooked? A little doubt. And from there, where do we go? You asked for my advice. I gave you wrong advice. How do I know? I wrote to a friend of mine this morning, a young lady who says she went to Rishikesh, met a bunch of Swamis there, and submitted her domestic problem to a Swami, and he gave a fantastic advice, I believe. And she says, oh, it was so marvelous, and the way he explained it was so thrilling that I listened to it and I can't recall a word of it. He must have sort of reeled out some transcendental philosophy that you and your husband are made of the same stuff and cosmic consciousness dwells in the. And she says, can I see you? Luckily, I mean, she's not coming here. She says, if you are coming to the eastern states, I can come and come to see you. My response was, we can meet each other, no problem. But can I be of any use to you? Because I am a total stranger to the problem that you are you are experiencing. Huh? There's a beautiful saying in Sanskrit, which my schoolmaster taught me, and I've never forgotten for, yes, nearly 50 years now. Vidvaneva vijanati vidvajana parishramam nahi vandya vijanati gurvim prasava vedana. You have a similar proverb in English. Only Shakespeare can appreciate Shakespeare. But here, there's a slight modification. Only a man of knowledge and understanding can appreciate the difficulties that another man of knowledge and understanding experiences. Otherwise, life is easy. No? If you have some knowledge and some understanding of life and what it is all about, then you find that life is not so easy. You are puzzled and puzzled and puzzled all the time. And if I come to you with all that puzzle, you would think, he's silly. It's so simple. It is not so simple. If you also are on the same wavelength as I am, then you also find that life is puzzling. It's not so simple and straightforward. Vidvane vijanati vidvajjana parishram. In Sanskrit literature, they invariably give an analogy to illustrate it and make it clearer. Nahi vandya vijanati gurvim prasavvedana. You ask a barren woman what does she understand about labor pains? Poor thing. All that she would imagine is that something like constipation, and you know, after about 4 or 5 days of constipation, you go to the toilet, it's a bit difficult. So maybe it's something like that. It's not 3 days constipation, it is 8 and 9 months constipation. What does she know, poor thing? You go and ask, you are barking up the wrong tree. That's what I've written to her. You come to me, you go to your Swami, and place before him your problems of domestic relationship, with your husband, with your children. That man doesn't understand anything. So, when I am in doubt, or when the established notion or dogma that I have been, or belief that I have been clinging to so far, is shaken by being exposed to something else, some other point of view, another point of view, another doctrine, another theory, another dogma, another belief. When this doubt arises, do I go to someone for advice? What happens if he is as blind as I am or I have been? What if he doesn't understand my problem at all? That is what happens to the pious and religious people. You go to your priest or somebody and say, Father, can I wear this sari? It also covers everything that there is to be covered. He says, oh no, you'll go straight to hell. Ayoyo. Because he is brought up in the same dogma. And he slaps you back into the belief that you clung to when you were immature. So, or supposing you go to the other person, the Hare Krishna person, he is going to say, my God, only now you are on the right track. You should never have worn these skirts or pants, trousers. Trousers are for men. Skirts are for gypsies, not for you. Am I on the right track? How do I know? Now that I have, you see, I don't know if I'm conveying this effectively. Once I have my belief or my faith or my dogma or my whatever it is has been proved of doubtful veracity, then I am frightened. I don't want to believe anything thereafter. From there on, I am like the Aikido person. I have eyes and ears and everything everywhere. I won't be taken in. I don't want to be taken in. Till vichara arises. So, doubt is of course the springboard. If there is no doubt, then you don't proceed anywhere. You don't get up, you don't make a move. One must begin to doubt. This is called pleasure. I don't know. I'm full of doubts. It's an awakening. And once you are awake, there is trouble. If you are not awake, there is no trouble at all. You cling to your own belief and it's marvelous. You can go on for another 30, 40, 50 years, it's nothing. 40, 50, 100 years is nothing in the history of South Beach sand. Yeah? You pick up that sand and look at it, it's been there for about 50,000 years. That's nothing. You lie on it and it looks at you and says, you're only here for another 10 years. We went and what is that place? Valley of the Giants, is it? Phew. Trees which have been standing there from the Mahabharata times. They have seen millions of people like us come and go. So 100 years is nothing in the life of even this earth, live alone life of something else. So, we are picked off and thrown away and then we start all over again. But till this awakening comes, when the awakening happens, maybe within ourselves, by looking at things, or by coming into contact with people of other beliefs, other ways, there arises a doubt in the established belief. Then what does one do? One doesn't go for advice. One doesn't go for advice. You may ask a million people, not for advice. You may question, right? Correct? You begin to question. And what does that word question mean? There is a quest. It is not merely asking for an answer, but it is a quest for a discovery. And that is where inquiry comes. So that if during my quest and I ask you a question, you give me an answer and I look into that, does this answer contain what I am looking for? I go on asking. Then one day I suddenly realize that she is saying something . Am I understanding it? The understanding is not in you, it is in me. Okay? The understanding is not in you at all. Whatever it is, the understanding is always in me. But this is not understood immediately. The first time I come with a problem and you give me an answer, I feel you are a great man, yes? Ha, fantastic. He has found the truth and he has handed the truth to me. Potato chips. The truth is treated as potato chips. He handed a packet of potato chips to me. Handed a packet of packaged truth to me. Then it doesn't work. It doesn't work for me as it works for you. Both of us have the same problem. It's, let's say, even a domestic problem or a financial problem, job problem. Both of us lose our jobs at the same time. Or both of us decide that we are not going to work for money anymore. And we both decide to resign. You go away, I go away. After some months, I see that you are happy and peaceful, but I am not. This actually happened to us, even though I don't think I am spinning a story. Two of us resigned our positions in Delhi at the same time and went to Rishikesh to join Swami Shivananda. We both wanted to dedicate our lives to Swamiji and serve him. I was getting more and more thrilled, excited, more and more drawn in, sucked in. But he felt not so comfortable. He had other problems. So it's possible that even though both of us decide upon the same thing, I realize that I am not getting the same kick out of it as you are. So, even though I learned this philosophy from you, it works for you, it doesn't seem to work for me. Why is that? Suddenly I realize that philosophy or no philosophy, the understanding is in me. The quest is there. And I have asked you a question, you have given me the answer in the light of your knowledge and understanding, in the light of your knowledge and your understanding, and inevitably I translate it into my language, in the light of my understanding. Something is gone. So, when there is a doubt or an inner awakening, I might go asking for advice. I might engage myself in a quest and question. Nothing happens. Then, without translating your teaching into my language, into my idiom, but remembering exactly what you said, I practice what is called vichar, inquiry. Inquiry in it, what is in it? What is in my problem? Or what is the content of my problem? In other words, what is the content of my mind, of my thought, of my feeling? Would you consider that inquiry, sir? What is the content of my thought, my feeling, my emotion, my problem? Now, when I do this, what is inevitable and therefore what must happen, if I am sincere, if I am serious, if I am earnest, if we want to do this, what must happen is that I must look with total attention into this, concerning which I am asking this question. What is the content of this? I must look with total attention. That looking with total attention is called vichara. Looking, observing with total attention is known as vichara. The Sanskrit root is extremely interesting and beautiful. Char means to move. Char is to move. Funny enough, if you write it in transliteration, Roman, you are going to spell it C-A-R, which also means moving in English. So, char, to move. Vichar means a very efficient movement. Vishishta, superior movement. Supreme movement, expert movement, perfect movement. That is when your consciousness moves towards this object of your quest, which is the question, what is the content of the thought, the feeling of this problem? When your consciousness moves very efficiently towards this, then there is vichara. Vichara is not doubt. Doubt has been left far behind. Now you don't doubt. Now there is no doubt at all. Because there is no dogma. You are not clinging to any belief at all. You are discovering. You are on a quest. You are moving, and in this there is no doubt. Miriam, you are asking something?
Earlier I was just going to say, you inquire into yourself then, but...
You inquire into yourself is another funny expression. Means, which one is you?
To question me.
I question me myself. That's right, correct? No. Please follow that. Can you question yourself? Why am I questioning? No. Can you do that? If you do that, what is your answer?
I'm just trying to do it now. I'm just trying to do it
Yeah, can you, if you do that, what is your answer? Why am I questioning? The answer is immediate, pop. Because I won't understand.
Yeah.
I want to attain self-knowledge. Finished.
Who is the questioner?
Aha. Uh-huh. Or where does this question come from? Or again, inquiry, what is the content of this question? That is, question being a form, question being a formula.
Yeah.
Question is a formula. The ula is only ula. There is nothing there. It is a form. In French and Creole, it's a very, very common expression of shouting, "Hey ula!" So this ula is only ula. The formula is nothing but a form. Now, what is the content of that form? You are asking a question.
The question itself is, what is the content of that form?
Ah, what is the content of that form? The question is, why am I engaging myself in this inquiry? That's the question. And that question has got a form. I'm not asking why, but I'm now asking quite differently. What is this? What is the content of this question? In other words, this question is a form. This question is a form. And the form is a thought.
Yeah, which has a meaning.
If you go into that meaning,
question has a meaning.
Maybe, but I want the meaning of meaning in a different way. Can you tell me what paper is? What is the meaning of the word paper?
Something to write on?
I can write on her forehead. Physical energy is plenty I've got. Is this paper?
It's from wood, trees.
Firewood is paper? Or from trees, bananas? Paper? No. This is paper. So, the meaning of the word meaning has got two meanings. One is what you have been struggling with, the other is this paper. Yeah? Any doubt now? Exactly. And therefore, when you face that question, you are not looking for a meaning in that, in the sense of paraphrasing, but I am looking for the meaning in the sense that this is paper. So, can I also look at this thought which arises in the form of a question, why am I indulging in all this inquiry? Or any other question, it doesn't matter. All questions are same. Every question is a formula and every question is a thought. And I am looking at that thought and asking the simple question, what is the content of this? What is the content of that thought? Not why is it there? I am not looking at the meaning of the thought in Freudian sense or Jungian sense or Adlerian sense, Gestalt sense. All this is nonsense. There is a very simple thing. It is so terribly complex because it is simple.
From all the things I've read, if you actually see that, right, what a question is, you're going to say, well, it's energy or it's...
Hey, when you... Do you see it as energy?
No, I do not.
Thank you very much. Nor do I. When the me, which is memory, comes up with an answer saying it is energy, I immediately recognize it. Baba Muktananda's
page 42.
Satsang with Baba, page 42.
There's
only one question and there's only one looking. And that is vichara. And that is vichara. There's nothing else.
That's not what we're doing, is it? I mean, that's when you talked about the Upanishads and you sit near.
Well, that's a different thing.
Vichara is one question, one.
But you may end up in vichara when you sit near a master, an enlightened man, you may end up doing vichara. He may guide you, he may help you, he may slap you, verbally, if not physically, and direct the attention in the right way, you know, just as we have been discussing here. When you mention vichara, inquiry and so on, she immediately comes up with a simple question, why am I considering all this? And enlightenment is mir. If producing an answer is enlightenment, such an enlightenment is immediate to Miriam. Immediately there is an enlightening answer. I want to attain self-realization. Anyway, get up and go. Have a cup of coffee. Which is not vichara. So, the enlightened master says, no, sorry, that's not what I asked you to do. I didn't ask you to come up with a verbal answer, but it must be an answer that this is paper. Do you see that as clearly as this? If not, go back to the kitchen, wash the dishes for the next 32 years, and then perhaps you'll understand one step more. In a non-verbal way, which means in a non-descriptive way. What is paper? In a non-descriptive way, this is paper. And you are enlightened.
The Zen are very beautiful ways of saying what is the sound of one hand clapping.
Same thing.
And you might look for years until you realize what it is. And when you realize what it is,
that's it. You see, the sound of one hand clapping is not heard by the ear. So you can go on looking for it for years. You will still not hear it. It's not a matter of ear, it is a matter of heart. Hari Om Tat Sat.